excited at the ice cream van. And I heard the sound of the ice cream van, and I would go running after to get an ice cream. Or there was also another van that sold chocolates, and it used to just beep the horn. And I knew the sound of that horn, and I would be out that door, up the street, to get a Mars bar or a Milky Way. I used to like sweets a lot. And on a Sunday, my dad used to give me sweets to keep me sort of paying attention in church. He used to pass these sweets along. And there was one day when I dropped the sweets, and the church floor was on a slope, and the sweets rolled to the, and I went under the pews, and I went after the sweets, and on the way out, the minister said to me, he said, "You know, cola cubes don't roll." I want you to imagine that you are, just close your eyes, boys and girls, for a minute. Imagine you are enjoying your favorite sweet, sucking all the goodness, savoring it, getting all the tastes and the flavors. You can open your eyes now. Now, when I read the Bible and when I pray, I get an even better feeling than that. Enjoying my friendship with God, who speaks to me. So we are to delight in God. Kyle, could you bring up the first slide, please? We are to delight in God. That it's something you can't work up. I can't say to you today, smile, everybody, when you don't feel like smiling. But when God, when you know that God loves you, no matter what things are going on in your life, it produces this joy that bubbles up and can't help but change the way we feel. And we're to delight. When I do that, Kyle, if you just move the slide on, okay? We're to delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And we know that, as Helen was saying, we delight in other things more than God, but if we truly put God first, you'll never be disappointed. You might not understand that just now. Just as when I was a child, I couldn't understand a lot of things. But I promise you, if you put God first, you will have the most wonderful life. If you put other selfish things first, you won't. Okay, Kyle? And to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. What does it mean to glorify God? Well, to glorify God is to reflect Him in the whole of our lives. It's God shines His light upon our lives. You see that on the wall there? God's goodness and His truth and His beauty and His justice, and His love, and His kindness. And when we're in friendship with God, He shines His light into our lives every day, and we are to shine our light everywhere we go, in school and in work. But the only way we can do that is if we spend time with Him every day, asking Him to fill us, asking Him to shine through us. That's what it means to glorify God. And we can do that through the way we work. We can do that through the way we treat other people. Through being a servant. Now, this certificate, sorry, last slide. This certificate, I'm not going to rip it up, okay? Because it really is very precious to me. I thank God for the people that spent time with me, just as we should thank God for the teachers in Kids Zone and in creche and in junior YF. They spend time with us, and they were very patient with us, even when we weren't paying attention. And so this is precious. But you know, there's a more important certificate. It's not really a certificate, that one day I know I'm going to see Jesus when I die. I'm going to see him face to face. And I want him to say the words, "Alistair, good and faithful servant." And that's what I live for. That's the only appraisal that matters. Even if other people say, "I'm not very good," if Jesus says, "good and faithful servant," that's all I want to live for. I want to live to glorify him. Do you want to live to glorify him? Is that what you're living for? Are you living for that final day? It's the only day that matters. And we are to be servants. Jesus, on this earth, he said, "I only live to do what the Father wants me to do. I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life." And we can glorify God in the humblest of ways, but the thing that gets in the way of that is when we put other things first, and we get all distracted, and we think that what really matters is what other people say of us. It's what God says of us that matters. And God says, "I love you so much that I came to die for you, to forgive you, and to bring you into that love relationship with me." Helen has explained it so well. And the football was a big one. My team is Newcastle United, and they're normally at the bottom of the league. But the richest man in the world has just bought Newcastle United. Should I be celebrating? The problem is, he's not a good man. And the way some of the things that he's done is not very good. And the Newcastle fans are so focused on the fact that they could have the best striker in the world playing for them that they've forgotten everything else. And some of them have got tea towels on their heads, and they've now become Arabs. And some of them have got flags which say, "Allah is our God and Muhammad is his prophet," at the football match, because they've forgotten everything else apart from to get that football team up the table. So I will still support them. I cannot not want them to win, but I'm conflicted now. But you know, there's this footballer, and his name is Kaká. We just bring the slide on, please. And he was in the Brazilian World Cup winning team in the 1990s. And when they won, he took off his shirt, and underneath he said, "I belong to Jesus." The biggest television audience of the year, the World Cup final, Kaká, the best player, got down on his knees and gave glory to God. And do you know what was written on his boots? Look at his football boots. "Jesus in the first place." Jesus in the first place. And so football is one of the biggest places of idolatry today. The stadiums are like cathedrals. The money is so much. And the worship that is offered, there's only one Alan Shearer. You should be repeating it back to me. But you know, the verse this morning said, "There is only one God. There is only one God, and you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength." There's only one Alan Shearer. No, Alan, you're a good footballer, but don't get carried away. There's only one God. And he sent his son, Jesus, into this world to live the greatest life ever. Eric Liddell had the world at his feet in Paris at the Olympics in 1922. And he said, God made me fast. God made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Sport is a gift from God. Money is a gift from God. Sex is a gift from God. Careers are a gift from God. But we don't worship the gift. We worship the giver. And Eric knew how to worship God, but at the same time to enjoy the gift. He knew that God had made him fast, and he enjoyed it, and it put a smile on his face. His sister said, Eric, you're getting carried away with all this running, nothing but running, Eric. And he said, Jenny, God has made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. And when I finished at the Olympics, I will go to China with you to tell people about Jesus. And that's what happened. After the Olympics, he had the gold medal. And everyone was cheering him in the station in London. They had him on people's shoulders. And that was the last they saw of him as he went to China to serve God. And when he was in the camp, the Japanese labor camp, do you know what he did? He sold his running shoes. He sold his gold medal so that other people could be helped. Because he knew that as much as he loved running, there was a greater pleasure of serving his God. So, next slide, please. And the next one. So the way that we can do this, we know it's difficult. I find it difficult every day to put God first. I'm sure you do as well. And Jesus says, come to me, spend time with me, and you will bear fruit. You will glorify God, and you will have joy. I tell you this to make your joy complete. It's all there in John 15, verses 7 to 12. We're going to read them very briefly. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love one another. Final example of what it means to glorify God and to enjoy him is this lady here, Joni Eriksson Tada. Her father was an Olympic wrestler. It was a very sporty family. I don't know if you're part of a sporty family, but she grew up in this family where she was horse riding and swimming and every conceivable sport. And then as a young woman, beautiful woman, she dived into shallow water and she was paralyzed from the shoulders down in a wheelchair for the rest of her life, so that she had to have people to help her to blow her nose. She couldn't even blow her own nose. And you would think that how could she glorify God and enjoy him forever? I was listening to her speaking this week at the age of 70. She's recently gone through cancer twice. And she spoke with such a joy in her. And she doesn't find it easy. She said, I feel so overwhelmed some mornings. My carers come in and I say to them, would you just pray for me? Because I don't want to get out of bed today. This lady has written 40 books. She goes all over the world telling people about how wonderful Jesus is. And she believes that however much she does not want to be in a wheelchair, she believes that she has accepted God's plan for her life. And that is that helped me this week because I had toothache. Had toothache all weekend. I was at the dentist on Friday and I'm going back on Monday. What is my toothache compared to what she's going through? Am I going to self-pity? Am I going to grumble and complain? Do nothing without grumbling. Do nothing without. Live your life without grumbling. The tiny, tiny things that I go through, I can be a real. Yeah. I need to be inspired by people like this. I need to be inspired by people in this congregation that are carrying their suffering with such grace. There's people that you know about, I'm not going to mention them by name, that are carrying and living for Jesus through terrible things and terrible suffering, and they are glorifying God. You are glorifying God in your suffering. And we give thanks for you. And we give thanks for you. And we give thanks for you, but we give thanks to Jesus who has made that possible. The Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our suffering so that we can be a help to others. Final slide. To glorify God and to enjoy Him is the same thing. You can't enjoy God if you're disobeying God. You can't enjoy Him if you're disobeying Him. You can't enjoy God if you know what you should do and you don't do it. But you can glorify God if you put Him first and live for Him, and He will give you His joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you that you are the greatest and the best and that you are the only one. And we pray for the children. We thank you, Lord, for each one of them. And we pray that we would be like children again and delight in you and live for you in every part of our life this week. In Jesus' name, amen.